Torah Way, Northwest London, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayechi, Yud Gimel Teves, 17th of December, Rabbi Dov Ben Cowan Shlita, Parsha theme.
We can call it, even if you want, Vayechi, past, present, and future. That's what we can call it. There are a number of names, I wasn't sure which one to go with, but I think this one perhaps encapsulates Mez Hashem, the main idea. It's just Hakal. It's a great pleasure to be back here. As we now come to the end of Sefer Bereishis, and we will say Metz Hashem after the laning on Shabbos, Chazak, Chazak, Nischazek. So trying to glean out some words of Chizuk for us in these days of winter, in these days of Galus, trying to glean out some words of Chizuk from this week's Parsha. And specifically from part of the Parsha, which I know oftentimes when it comes to Parsha Vayechi, we're focusing a lot on generally the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave to the Shvatim. And there's also a strong emphasis on the brachas of Ephraim Menashe, how Yaakov Avinu switched his hands around. We talk a lot about Hamalach HaGoyel Oisi. But there is a specific part of the story with Yaakov Avinu, with Yosef HaTzadik, with Ephraim Menashe, that I'd like to zero in on. And I'm sure the questions I'm going to ask today are questions you've all asked before. I'm not coming in necessarily to mechadish anything. I'm sure you've asked these questions before. I'm sure you've got your own answers to them as well. But I thought it'd be nice to go through it together. I'm forever indebted to my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Weinberger, from America. His shirim, many of his shirim, these ideas are based on. But let's go through it together and see what we can understand from this episode. At the beginning of the Parsha, now I've given out the source sheets now, those of you who have been to some of the Torah I've done before, just know that we have to go step by step, because oftentimes you give a source sheet to someone and they read the whole thing and then they kind of switch off. So I've read it, I understand what's going on. So let's go step by step by step together, trying to understand exactly what's happening here. So we go to the beginning of the Parsha, and we see that Yaakov Avinu is in Mitzrayim and he knows he's going to pass away. And he asks Yosef to swear to him, to make a shvua that he will bury him in the Maras Machpelah. He says, so you see the beginning, please, whatever you do, do not bury me here in Mitzrayim. Take me back, please, to the Maras Machpelah. And Yosef HaTzadik makes the Shvuah and promises him that he will do such a thing. We then get to Perek Memches. And now it's very interesting if you kind of focus in on what's happening in these psukim. These are the psukim before Yaakov Avinu gives the brachas to Ephraim Menashe. Let's take a look together and see how it's very interesting that we're going to be running from the present to the past. So somehow Yaakov is going from present tense to past tense and then back again. And it's very disjointed. It seems quite disjointed that we're going from present to past. So we'll take a look. So he took his two sons with him. So at that point, Yaakov has heard that Yosef's there, and he sits up on his bed. And now he goes into the past. He's sitting there, and he goes into the past. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef, kel shakai nireh elai b'luz, ba'aretz Kanaan, v'yivarech Oisi. He's going back to an episode that happened many years before in Luz, in Eretz Kanaan. And we'll go through that together very soon. So don't worry, we'll touch on that, we'll go through it together. But now he goes back into the past and refers to the brachas that happened in Luz. What happened there? It's in the past tense. There in Luz, Shem promised Yaakov they'd be fruitful, they'd be numerous. And he would give him something called Kahal Amim, we'll have to understand what that means. And he'll give him the land to him and his children after him as well. We now go from the past back into the present tense. He's now back in the present. And he says, V'ata, now, right now, Shnei Banecha Nodim Lecha, Baretz Kanan, Alboy Elecha Mitzrayimah, Lihem, your children that you were born to you in Mitzrayim before I arrived, before I came down to Mitzrayim, Lihem, they belong to me, they're mine. Ephraim Menashe, Kedem Shimon Yili. Your sons, Ephraim and Asher, will be like Reuben and Shimon to me. They will be like mine. But anyone that was born after Ephraim and Asher, they're yours. They're not mine. But Ephraim and Asher are mine. But the other ones would be yours. They get involved in their brothers, Nachalan. They don't have their own level of being a Shevet. Fine, so we've gone from the present to the past. And now, we're back in the present again. And then, at the end, he goes back to the past again. Yaakov goes back into the past and says, Vani, bevoimi padan, meisalei Rachel. So I'm going to go back again to the episode of when Rachel Imenu died in Eretz Canaan, b'derech ba'od kivras Eretz, l'avoy efrat v'ik v'asham b'derech efras, he beis lachem. So he goes back again to the past, what happened with Rachel Imenu and the death of Rachel Imenu. So there are a few questions we're going to try and focus in on. Okay, so let's go a few of the questions. Number one, why is it that Yaakov seems to be going back from the present to the past, present to the past? It's very strange. Just stay in one present, one tense, and stay there instead of jumping around. It seems very strange. Another one is this whole inyan of Lihem. Why does he say Ephraim Menashe Lihem? Why dafka Ephraim Menashe should be? Now, when I, growing up, when I used to read these psukim, and I'm sure you didn't because you know much more than me about these things, but I used to see Lihem. He was being sort of kind, saying to Yosef, you know, he had a certain sense of connection with Yosef more than any other Shvatim. And he wanted to implicate Yosef or to say, Ephraim Menashe, they're like mine more than the other grandchildren that I have. Ephraim Menashe, I feel more of a connection with them because Yosef, I love you so much, I love Ephraim Menashe. But then the question is, why should Ephraim Menashe be more special than any other grandchildren that we've born through Yosef? If he had other children, and we don't know whether Yosef, but if he had other children, then he also should have been just as special as Ephraim Menashe. So why Dafka Ephraim Menashe are considered to belong to Yaakov Avinu? And then, last but not least, the question which is very bolet, which is, it seems to be very strange, is this idea, why does he go back to Vani, the volume Padan, why does he go back there again? Now, Rashi says, if you look at Rashi then, I've brought Rashi the source, Rashi says, even though I'm asking you to go to the Hill Tircha, take me back, all the way back to the Maras Mapela. I didn't do it for your mother. I didn't. You know, I could have taken your mother to the Maras Mapela, and I didn't do that. And you may have a tie on me, so I'm asking you, please, to do it for me, even though I didn't do it for your mother. But of course, the question there, many people ask this on Rashi. I saw it in the Orach Chaim. I'm sure there are other places too. That, if that's the case, you should have asked that earlier. You should have said that earlier. In other words, if you look at the narrative, when he says, "Al natik bring Mitzrayim," "Va'ani b'boim padan," that's the most obvious place to have said it. Please bury me in Mitzrayim. Please bury me in Eretz Canaan. I didn't bury your mother in Maris Pelah, but please do it for me. So it seems very strange why this pasuk is there. What is it doing? What's its purpose in being there? What's Yaakov Avinu doing by mentioning the death of Rachel at that point? Even there, that's where it would have been. So we have to try and understand this, and in doing so, the way to understand this, the way to come to the sugya at the same speed, is we have to go back. We have to take a little trip back down to Parshas Vayishlach. So go back to Parshas Vayishlach, take a look there. I brought the psukim here for us to see exactly what happened at Luz, that whole experience in Luz. Interesting enough, we see that at that point is when Yaakov Avinu, he's come back from living with Lavan, he's come back into the land, he's had already the whole Mice of Shechem, and finally, there in Luz, he comes there, he gets the news that his mother Rivka has passed away, and it says that Rashi says that Hashem's coming to give him a Birkas Avelim, that he actually is an Avelis on his mother, and he gets a special bracha now, if you look in the Mokorius of Roli Vaishlach, and it says here, we can even jump in on Yud Aleph. Or you intend Vayel Lokim El Yaakov Obo Voy Padan Aram Vayrachosi. Oh, sorry. Vayel Lokim Shimcha Yaakov Lu Yikare Shimcha Oid Yaakov. Let's see, he's already told him, I'm changing your name to Yisrael. As you know, your name's Yisrael. Vayomela Elokim Ani Kel Shakai. I am Kel Shakai. Pere Urve Goi Ukal Goim Yemi Mecca. Umalachim Mechalatzecha Yetzu. So Hashem tells him, Pere Urve, you're going to be fruitful and multiply, you're going to and be fruitful. A goy, a nation, ukahal goyim, and a multitude, it seems to be, of nations. Yiyem Mecca will come from you. Malachim Mecha Tzach Yisrael, and even kings will come from you as well. Zaharis Hashem Atit Nazasi L'Avraham, Yitzhak, I will give you this land as well. Okay, we could go through every single, translate every single part of this, but we're not going to. But let's get the full context. So Yaakov Avinu has been told the news, he's going to have more children. He's going to have more children. He says he's going to have more children. He's told him, you're going to have more children. And this, of course, before Binyamin is born. And it seems that he's going to have those children from Rachel Imenu. The Rachel's going to be the one. Rachel's the youngest one. Rachel's going to be the one that's going to have these children. And he's going to have, if you take a look at Rashi, I brought the next source, Goy is Binyamin. Says Rashi, Goyim is Menashe v'Efrayim. Shasizim latzes mi Yosef v'em mivinyan hashvatim. These two people, Ephraim and Menashe, Yaakov understood at that time that these were actually going to come from him. These were going to be children that were going to be born to him. He was going to have more children from Rachel Amenu. So you can imagine, just Yaakov Avinu, everything that's happened to him in his life by Lavan, and everything, he's come back into Eretz Canaan now, and he's going to have more children with the woman he loves the most, Rachel Amenu. He's going to have even more children with her, and he's so excited. And then what happens? The next thing in the narrative, the next thing that happens is she dies. And this whole dream, this whole promise, yes, he's now got Binyamin, he's got one of the children, but the whole promise seems to have dissipated, seems to have disappeared. They was going to have these children from Rachel Imenu, has gone, has disappeared. And with this, we can go in and understand, actually, there are a number of different Makoris. I saw it here, I brought the Malbim, there are a few places that talk about this. That actually, Yaakov Binyamin was certain that he was going to be having these extra children from Rachel Imenu, to the extent that after she passed away, that is the reason why he went and put his bed in with Bilhah, because he thought that Bilhah, as the continuation with Rachel, he would go into the tent of Bilhah. If you take a look at the Malbim here, the Malbim quotes the Arizal. Uviyohadvarim imash echzik Yaakov es Menashe v'Efrayim kubanav. He was certain that Menashe and Ephraim, these two boys, were really children that were meant to come from him, not from Yosef. They're children that were going to come from him. That time Hashem says to Yaakov, Rachel Muvaris Binyamin, Hashem Eftiach lo shelet od banim, you're going to have more children from Rachel. He thought he was going to have two more children from Rachel. And Shirash makes it Rachel. Now this, interesting enough, gives us a whole new light on the whole episode with Reuven, why Reuven does what he does. Says the Malbin, Reuven knew this Nuvuah. Those children, more children that were going to come to Yaakov Avinu, you'll do Mele. They should come from Leah, not from Bilhah. Mele Imo. That's why Bilba Yitzur, that's why he went and moved his father's couch. He wanted, they all seemed to know that more children were coming, and therefore he wanted those children to come, not to go from Leah, and definitely not to come from Bilhah. He was Zilzan the covered his father. But he understood this nevuah that there was going to be more children, which is interesting. There's a question on this that I didn't come to a conclusion to, which was seems to be that there was also a nevuah that were going to be Yud Bet Shvatim, and everyone would be Yud Bet Shvatim. So what does it mean that there's going to be Yud Dalad?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I didn't. If anyone has an answer to that, I'd be interested to know.
Rachel knew that, but nevuah.
Yeah. So
Rachel knew.
Sorry, but I'm going here with the Makoris. I'm saying it's a question I had as well. I'm sharing the question with you. It seems to be that they thought they were going to be Yud Dalad. Yudal Shvatim. He seems that they can have another two children. It's very, very strange. But actually, we know Yud Bet. So okay, that's a question which we can all think of over Shabbos. Maybe come and answer. But okay, it seems to be here that he knew that he's having these two extra children, and that's why he says Hazera. Seems to be that there was this zera that was muchan letzes mimeno. That these neshamas of Ephraim and Asher were ready to go. They were ready to go. It seems. They were ready to be brought into the world, and Reuven, by doing what he did, caused Ephraim and Asher not to come into the world at that time. Shav shasa zois lechavad imo, heiz panim neged avit v'ishto. V'alidechen lo noldu hashnei banim, shtahayu ru'uyim latseis miYaakov. Those two boys were ru'uyim to come from Yaakov, not from Yosef. And they were those, it seems to be those neshamas were here. If you take a look at the Orach Chaim, and the next Makor goes into this in even more detail. He says, Aleish v'das my Ram, we're going to see from this that later on that really that Yosef is the Bechina of Yaakov. We'll come to that in a second. Sorry, Mike, I went too early here, but the idea is that here in the Malbim we're seeing very clearly that really it should have been mamash from him, those two children, Ephraim and Asher, should have been born dafka from Yaakov. And that also, by the way, makes it very clear that if you took a look back in the Psukim Vayishlach, it says there, that after the whole incident of Reuven and Bilhah, it finishes by saying, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masa. And there's a question, why does it have to say Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masa? We know how many they were. Because it seems to be there was some element that maybe they would have been not shnei masa, they would have been Yudalit, they would have been Arba asa, but it seems to be Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masa. That's it, it's 12. It's not going to be 14. It's only going to be 12. Now,
that's what Rashi accentuates in Parshas Bechi. That he says, "Lamdaini she'usid echad mshifta," that I was under a misapprehension.
Yeah.
That I thought there would be 14, but really it was only one which is splitting into
it's two. It's a two.
That's why he says, "She'usid echad mshifta lechulei."
It's going to come.
That's
to
why he's clarifying that now. I thought no, so. So right. I'm giving that gift to you yourself.
Right, right. And this is the point now. We're saying the Atta. Now that's where we get that. We go back now to this moment here in Mitzrayim with Yaakov Avinu, when he's got his sons in front of him. It seems to be that this is why everything becomes clear to him. The Atta. Now I see that Yosef, that you have these sons that are from Menashe. They really were always meant to come into the world. They were meant to come in through Rachel, and they come in through you. And now I understand, and now I see, and everything becomes clear to me exactly what happened. Those children were meant to be born, and they've come in, and they've been born through you. And that's why I brought the Orach Chaim here to show that really, he says here, Yosef u'b'chinas nefesh Yaakov. Yosef is really the continuation of Yaakov. So really, when you say the children were meant to be born from Yaakov, it's kilo they were born from Yaakov because they came from Yosef, who is b'chinas Yaakov himself. But then we still got the question. So now that answers the question of Lehem. That answers the question of Lehem. Why is he saying, Ephraim and Manasseh, Lehem, they belong to me? Because somehow they do. They really were his. They really somehow belong to him. They were shaykh to him more than anyone else. And that's why any other children that would have been born to Yosef after Ephraim and Manasseh are not included. It's only Ephraim and Manasseh, those two sons, that would be Lehem and no one else. Only those two. We still got the question, it seems to be, why does he go back to Padan Aram afterwards? Why does he then go back to the narrative of what happened in Padan Aram? There it seems to be that the Orach Chaim is brought here. It says, "Achein lefi mashi pirashti ki modiyosha habanim hamuftach bohem sheyetsu menu hem elu nischavim ba'omru va'ani bevoi ki hu siba shelo yatsu menu mamash." That Yaakov is saying the reason why they didn't come through me was because I was the one that caused it to happen. It's for me because by Padan Aram Rachel died. Why did she die? Because he says it was my fault. There's two reasons the Orach Chaim brings. One is because he then made the neder to get back to his father Yitzhak, and he stayed. He didn't rush back to see his father, and therefore he was goyim his wife would die. Or Netzad HaKlala, that when Lavan comes in and looks for the Teraphim, and he says, you know, whoever's got it will die, and that's right. So Yaakov seems to be blaming himself for that, and says that I was the one who caused actually Rachel to die. It should have been that my wife Rachel would have had more children. She would have had Ephraim and Manasseh, but actually it was because of me that she didn't have them. But now I see that they've been born to you. They've been born to you, Yosef Atzad. They come to you. There is another way of understanding this last part of Ani Boi Padan, and that's maybe just to focus in even more a little bit onto this idea that if we can somehow understand what it must have been like for Yaakov Avinu at that moment, if we think about it, the tragedy that he was feeling. He's got this wife, the wife he loves the most, and he's had such a hard life already. And he's been promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it, you're going to have more children now. Everything's going to settle down, you're going to have more children with Rachel. And she passes away, this tragedy of and not just that, let's think about it for a second. If you can imagine, like he's been promised that he's going to have more children from Rachel, but he's already, okay, he's got Yosef and he's got Binyamin as well. But then think about it, what happens? Yosef gets taken away from him. So that's one strike, you know? There's already one strike, Ephraim and Manasseh haven't come in. Strike two, Yosef is now taken away from him. And then you could say even strike three, Binyamin for a short while is also taken away from him. So everything's disappeared, everything's been taken away, everything's gone. And with this, maybe we can see even for our own lives, that sometimes we go those moments, it's impossible for us even to slightly compare ourselves, even a tiny amount, to one of the others. But everyone goes to those moments where the hestapanim, where it doesn't seem like all these promises or the brachas, things that we thought were coming our way, things that we were going to have, things that we were going to be able to enjoy, they disappear, they've gone, they're not there. Things that we were expecting, things we were hoping for, and they haven't come true. And with this, it's very interesting. If you take a look at the Ibn Ezra, who was quoted by this Rav Sadia Gaon, who was quoted by the Ibn Ezra. It says just a few words, but I think they're so powerful and so poignant. This is on the Pasuk Dalad, Vimches Dalad. The Ibn Ezra says, V'tam hinini mafercha, adas ha-goin, and he's bringing down the words of the Rav Sadi Gaon, sha'amar li ha-shem, hinini mafercha bu, ven lo enolad li, rak mesa rachel, I was promised a child, and what happened? Rachel died. That's what happened. Va'ata, but now, this moment, the end of his life, va'ata, yadati, now I understand, see, now I understand that what the bracha was all about. Now I have the clarity at the end of my days to see how everything worked out, how everything was meant to be, how everything had its place, everything had its time. I thought it was meant to be one way, but actually HaKadosh Baruch had another plan. And here at the end of my life, I'm seeing va'ata, that now we're going into the present tense. And this maybe makes us understand why Yaakov is jumping from past to present to past. He's taking all those feelings and those sense that he had of the brachas were coming his way, they were taken away from him, and he's seeing right now, va'ata, now everything becomes clear. Now I see why everything had to happen the way it had to happen. Now all that pain, that suffering, that tragedy that I carried for so many years, when my wife died, when my children were taken away from me, now I understand how everything had to happen this way. And with this, maybe we can understand a very interesting way that Yaakov uses to describe Hashem. If you look, I brought it a little earlier, in Perek Memches, Pasuk Tedvav, just before he gives the bracha to Ephraim Menashe, Yaakov Avinu says, "Vayvarches Yosef vayoyimah, ha'elokim asher hisalachul avosai lefanav, Avram Yitzhak, ha'elokim haroyeh oisi moedi adayom hazeh." So this is the very first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as a roeh, as a shepherd. And it's an interesting choice of language that Yaakov Avinu is saying in his life. The word he uses to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is haroeh, is the shepherd. And I saw written from Rav Matis Solomon in Matnas Chaim, he says that there's a reason why Yaakov Avinu is choosing this word dafka shepherd. Why dafka shepherd? So we all know in the Mizmor, Hashem roi lo yachsor, binastesh yabitzeini, amei menuchis na'aleini. What's the whole inyan of a shepherd? What's the whole purpose? The shepherd, he's there, he's leading the sheep from place to place. And sometimes the sheep want to go one way, they want to go a different way, they're not sure why they have to be in this place, but they trust and understand that the shepherd has their best interest at heart. The shepherd knows exactly what's meant to be, what's meant, where they're meant to be going. And they put that trust in the shepherd, even though sometimes they're going to be going down the gates of Anavis. They don't know where they're going. But they put their trust in the shepherd, the Ro'eh. The Ro'eh is going to take them exactly where they need to go to. And it's interesting, it seems to be why here, at the end of his life, Yaakov Avinu, Va'ata, now I understand and see. He always had the emunah. He always understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan. But now he sees it come to fruition. He's there in Mitzrayim. Yosef's there with his children. Binyamin's there with his children. Everyone is there. Hashem rei lo echsor. Nothing's missing. No one's missing. I've got everything around me. Everyone's with me together. Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, can look back and see the shepherd, how the shepherd was holding his hand throughout every step of the way. There's a story I heard a number of years ago. I've heard different versions of this story. I like this story very much. There was a poetry competition once in London, and there were a number of people. It was in one of the big halls in London, and they were given poetry recitals. They had to come in, and they had to, whether it was words from Shakespeare or whoever, they had to recite poetry. Remember when I was in school, we had to do the same thing. You had to read poems, and you had to put a lot of emotion into it, and there was a competition who would win the poetry recital competition. And in the end, there were three finalists that got to the final, and they were given their poem, that last poem that they had to read, and with that they would be judged. And the poem they were given was Tehillim Chav Gimel. Mizmor David Hashem Roi Lo Achsor. Now it wasn't Hebrew, it was in English, right? They gave it in English to read. The Lord is my shepherd, as they say, that's what they said, I shall not want. And they were given this to read. So they all get up, one after the other, and they try to read this poem with as much emotion. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He left me down in pastures. They all try to read out this poem. And the judges listen, and the whole audience is enthralled. The whole audience is wowed by these people who have got an amazing gift of speaking, a gift of being able to describe. And the judges are about to give the award. And before they announce the winner, there is a voice in the back. And there's an old Jew, an old man, Jewish man, He puts his hand up and he says, before you give the award, could you let me read the poem? Can I read it? And he said, okay, we'll let you come. So he comes in, comes to the front, and he starts to read this poem, Hashem Roi Lochso, and he starts to read in English. And by the end, there's not a dry eye in the hall. Everyone has tears in their eyes. There's not a dry eye in the hall. And the judges of the competition are completely enthralled, and they're bemused. They say, they don't understand. They say, like, when the others read it, they're professional, you know, they read the whole time, the recitalists, and no one could get the same emotion from but you. But you got up there, and you spoke when you said these words, and everyone was crying. How could it be? So the man turns back to them and says, the difference is, I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. Hashem Roi Lachso, I know that shepherd. That's the shepherd that's guiding me, that's holding my hand, that's taking me from place to place my whole life. And I know the shepherd. I have an intimate relationship with the understanding of what the shepherd is. And this is why it seems to Yaakov in his life, I look him, I Roi AOC. He chooses those words, Dafka. For us now, in this time, we know that when you look at the different lives of the Avos, Avram Avinu was, and it was like, I think, I seen it in Rav Shmuel Val Hirsch describes it this way, that Avram Avinu was like the Nasi, you know, he was the prince, everyone came to Avram. Yitzhak already, he's having issues with Avimelech, it's not the same. By the time you get to Yaakov is in the house of Lavan, he's like an Eved in the house of Lavan. His whole life, it seems to be, from Esav to Lavan, to Shechem, to Yosef, so many difficulties, so many hardships, so many moments where one could stop and say there's tragedy there. But yet, at the end of his life, Yaakov is giving us, every single one of us, a message into the deep, dark galus that we're in right now. And he's saying to us, Elohim ro'eh oisi. We have to develop and understand that relationship with our shepherd. Because, as he says at the end of his life, I had those moments where I thought that these children of Ephraim and Manasseh were never going to be born. I had those moments where I wasn't sure what was going to be happening, where there was tragedy struck. But ultimately now, at the end of my life, va'ata, and I see how everyone is here together, everyone is joined together. And therefore we can go back to answer those questions that we put at the beginning. We asked why everything seems to be disjointed. We're going from past to present, and present to past. So I was saying that Yaakov Avinu is going back to Luz, and he's reflecting what happened to Luz, saying this is essentially now, at this moment of my life, I see how all those promises came together. Why are Ephraim and Asher Li? Why do they belong to me? Because we saw in the Malbim, we saw the one misquoting Arizal, and others are saying the same thing. Why Lihem? Because they were his. They were meant to be his children. Ephraim and Asher were actually meant to be his. That were being born into the world, and instead they came to Yosef. That's why Lihem and not other children. And finally, Bavoimi Padan, why we're going back to Padan Aram again. It's the same idea. We're seeing that Yaakov Avinu is going back to that moment where there was the most tragedy. And the end is saying that there was that moment where it was painful, and I blame myself for that. But now I look and see Va'ata, everyone is all together. I can revisit that moment, that painful moment that maybe he locked up for so long, and go back to that moment and see that, Baruch Hashem, at the end of my life, everything has come together, and I see all my children with me together. And that's why we say, Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, on this idea, Hashem Ro'i Lo Echso, Hashem Ro'i Lo Echso, that we have to, in every moment when we have those moments of questions of darkness sometimes, where we think the brachas are coming our way, we have to hold tight to this message that Yaakov Avinu is giving us at the end of his life, to constantly build that relationship with our shepherd and know that he's taking us and guiding us into the green pastures, the binos deshe is where he's taking us at every time, and we should have to connect to that in every way. Thank you, good chance.
Shamirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zakah, the Sir of here, the Hand of Time, the Dice of Fates, the Mansin,